to Romans, the 8th chapter. Six through 11 of Romans 8. Six, and here we go. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we've been talking about the creation. The creation, in the first chapter of Genesis, the heaven and the earth, and the waters below and above the heaven, the earth and its vegetation, animals, man, the wind, and everything else. And that before God has finished working, the creation shall be redeemed. What does it mean when we say the creation shall be redeemed? What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to redeem something? Right. From who? Can you say more about it than that? Okay, that's right. In the general sense, then, to redeem means that something belonged to somebody at one time. And then they lost it, either through forfeiture or somebody took it from them by force, either by forfeiture or by force. And then to redeem, that person, to redeem it is to restore whatever belonged to that person, whatever belongs to someone, back to the original owner. To get something back to the original owner is what it means to redeem. Somebody starts out the original or rightful owner. And so in the redemption of the creation, what is wrong with the material creation at this time? Yeah, anything else? Huh? What is wrong with the creation? Huh? Why? Why? Okay, now in terms of redemption, what happened? Who originally owned the material creation? Who made it? Jesus. First Gospel of John, the first chapter. By Him were all things. Remember, we're talking about things. The things are the things that that a human being can discern with his senses. That's the things. The spiritual realm, we cannot discern. The spiritual realm is not part of that which was created in the beginning. See, the angels, we cannot discern them with sight, with hearing, with touch, with taste. We cannot discern. But anything that we can discern with our senses is a thing that God created in the first chapter of Genesis. All things. God gave man dominion over all things. Okay, so Jesus created it. Who did he give it to? To man. See, so man is the original and rightful owner of what? Everything. Everything. Anything that you can contact with your senses is the creation. If you can touch it, taste it, see it, or feel it, smell it, it belongs to the creation. You cannot do that to the spiritual realm. So you cannot do that to the realm of the angels. We cannot discern them with our senses. So you do not find in the first chapter of Genesis anything about angels being created, anything about the cherub being created, anything at all. Just the sky. In the beginning, it should say, really, to make it clear, in the beginning, God created the sky and the earth, because the heaven that it's talking about there is where God put the sun, moon, and stars. And he sure didn't put them up in glory. He put them where we can see them. So it should read, in the beginning, God created the sky and the earth. Now, can you see the sky? All right, then it's a thing. It belongs to the creation. So everything in the creation was made by Jesus and belongs to Jesus. And Jesus, when he made it, gave it to man. He said, let us make man. Man is another thing. You can see him. You can touch him. Man is a thing that God has created in the creation. Anything in the first chapter of Genesis is part of the creation. And this is so wonderful to me. It's a wonder I don't go bananas. Because I think of going over to India, you know. I'm getting warmed up to that now. It's not that far away, thanks to the good people of the church. And God and the Lord. I know it was the Lord. That I've learned from experience, people do not give that kind of money unless it's the Lord. In fact, they won't even stand up in church unless it's the Lord. I found that out too. So I just look to God alone. But I praise the Lord. But do you know, when I go over, when Bob and I go over in the name of the Lord to minister in India, you know the attitude I'm going? And I'm sure Bob feels the same way too, because we're getting to where we really understand one another, and I do praise the Lord for Bob, because I can see the Lord has given me a tremendous blessing in you, Bob, a tremendous blessing. I mean that very sincerely. Bob has tremendous abilities that I certainly do not have. If I do as well in my part as he's doing in his, we're going to get along fine. Praise God. So how wonderful. God knows what he's doing. But you know what our message is to the people in India? We'll have to be careful how we preach it, that they don't throw us out in our ear. But you know what the message is? We're not coming to tell people that God's purpose in you is to die and leave this beautiful land. That never was the message of the gospel. We made that up. What we're telling the people of India is that this is your land. God has given you your flesh, hasn't he? Do we want to leave our flesh? Paul says we don't groan that we would be unclothed. Why do we come down here? See, when you come down to be prayed for, to be healed, you know what that is? That's redemption. That is the buying back, because you should own your body, shouldn't you? So our message is not that we want to leave our bodies, which God gave us, or the good land which God gave us, or the sky which God gave us, or the people. We don't want to leave anything, man. We don't want to leave. This is our place. And it's the devil that's an interloper. And it's the devil that has come. And God says the year of my redeemed has come. Praise the Lord. And so the message to those people is the kingdom of God is coming, and Jesus is coming, and he wants you to have the land. This is your land. This is your flesh, your body. It doesn't belong to the devil. These are your homes. They don't belong to Satan. And when a few years ago, when we were back with George Parsons there, and you look there in Illinois and see these beautiful farms and fields, wonderful. It was corn plant time when we were there, and I preached the same thing to them. God doesn't want you bringing into your homes booze. He doesn't want sickness in your home. God wants to give you this beautiful land. That's what the Bible is about, is redemption, is giving back to people the things that Satan took from them. Praise the Lord. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And when you read the Bible in those terms, Old Testament or New, it makes all the sense in the world. It never was a flight. It never was an evacuation. It's always been, come, Lord Jesus. And God wants to go into India and into every other country, and he wants to drive those demon gods out into the Pacific Ocean. Or whatever gulfs are around the Indian Ocean or whatever it is. God wants to drive those demons out. They don't belong in there. They never belonged in there. God in the beginning created India and North America and South America and everything. God created it and he looked at it, and what did he say? It's good, it's good. There's never been anything wrong with the material creation. It's marvelous. I hear people say, oh, they want to die and go to heaven. Why do we want to die and go to heaven? God has given us a wonderful thing. The only thing's wrong with it is the devil. You get the devil cast out of this material creation of ours, and it's going to be like it was in the beginning, paradise. There'll be no curse. The reason there's a curse on it is because of the devil. And if you get all the demons and all the death and all the sin and all the sickness out of it, we can enjoy nature. We can enjoy the ocean. We can enjoy the good thing. Well, people that want to fly into the spiritual realm, that's all right with me. I don't care. The angels didn't like it. They came down here to mess around and walk to and fro in the earth and corrupt and ruin everything. But boy, the more I think about the thing, the more enthusiastic I get. Because that's what the Bible is teaching. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't expect you to believe me. I know it's radical, but anyway, I know it go to heaven when we die, and that's wonderful, and that's all that glorious thing. But I'm telling you what is more glorious than heaven is the resurrection from the dead. It's more glorious. Man. I tell you, I don't know if I could bear it. It's so marvelous to my mind to see what God actually is doing. All right, now, the same thing is true in our families here in this church. We have, just think of your family and all the lovely things that God has given to you. And when you die, when you get ready to go to death, and you're dying, you're not going to be in a state of rejoicing. You know you're going to a good place, but you're going to feel a tremendous tug. God, give me one more day. You don't realize that now, but wait till you're ready to die, and you'll see your values will switch faster than anything you ever saw in your life. And you think, oh, if I could have only seen my children when they got married and had children, or my grandchildren, or when they went to school, or when they got their driver's license or whatever. These silly, sappy little things come to us because we're very sentimental people. And boy, right at that moment, you can keep your streets of gold. We just like to see our children when they were grown up and married. You don't realize these things till you're facing death. And then all of a sudden, values suddenly get all moved around to what we think. You don't realize anything and appreciate it till you're fixing to lose it. And then you think, oh, if I could have just seen them grow up, or if I could have just seen this, or just been with them, and come to find out your heart's all wrapped up in your kitchen and your kids. That's right, it isn't up in a sea of glass at all. Well, we come to heaven, come to church and sing about heaven, but boy, when you get right down to it, we have second thoughts. And that's what God wants. He wants to redeem. We're moving. Do you realize we are moving toward the abolition of death? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We are moving toward the abolition of sickness. God says there'll be no sickness. He never said that about heaven. It's not in the Bible. Do you know where God said there'd be no sorrow, no crying, or any of these things? On the new earth. It had nothing to do with the spiritual heaven. It has to do with the earth. It doesn't say there's no tears in heaven. It says there's no tears on the new earth. Read your Bible and see. We've got a lot of traditions. They need to get revamped. There's a lot of tears up in heaven. Christ is crying. God is weeping up there all the time, I do believe, over the conditions of people. There's something to that effect in the Old Testament. Certainly there's sorrow and grief. It isn't going in the spiritual realm that removes it. It is the regeneration of the creation is what we're after. That's why the spirits begin to talk about Joel's iron and everything, because this is the force that's going to go through the earth and redeem it. See, the year of my redeemed has come. We're going to redeem. We're going to deliver back from the ungodly spirits the entire creation. Everything that you can see, touch, hear, taste, and feel is going to, every cursed devil is going to be driven out of it. And into it is going to come the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! And that's why Rosemary's up every time she's singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. You know, that is in Isaiah. And what do you think it means? It means the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. That's what it says. Praise the Lord. The whole creation will become animate because it will be filled with the life of God. Praise the Lord. All right, now, you say, what does that have to do with what we read tonight? Because, you see, Paul starts off in the book of Romans, and every chapter is sequential. And then when he gets into chapter 9, the guy that did this was sharp enough to detect. He goes off in another direction. He goes off on predestination to show it's all by the predestination of God. But when you're getting up here to where we're reading, you're getting up to the climax of things. And this is why Todd is going through a hard time, and some of you in here are dying to self, and others are dying to sin, and others are still trying to escape the world. It's because God, because we are a first fruits of redemption. And we are supposed to be showing forth in ourselves what God is going to do for the whole world. Praise the Lord. And when we go to a place, we bear witness in ourselves and by miracles, and if God doesn't work miracles, there's no testimony of the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is coming, the powers of the age are coming, and people are to get ready for it so they'll be saved and can enjoy the earth. That's the message of the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom that comes from heaven to the earth. It is the life of heaven, and we don't have to wait till Jesus comes. We can get as much as we want of it today, right down here. And once we talk to God and tell Him that's what we want, then what does God begin to do? What does He begin to do? Huh? He begins to drive out. He begins to redeem you. He begins to redeem your spirit, meaning He drives out that which is evil. And of course, we're just dumb enough. We're emotionally attached to our problems, shall I put it that way? Did you ever try to give your child something good and they wouldn't receive it? Huh? Or try to take away something bad before they blew their head off? And that's the way we are with God, Dan. We hold on to these things. Oh, God, if you take that from me. And God never takes anything from us unless it's an act of redemption. Unless He sees that it is preventing our being filled with life and joy, He'll not take it from us. Because God's goal in this whole thing is to redeem us. That's all He's got in mind, is to redeem us. And when God takes away sin from us, it's to get the death out of us. And when God takes us out of the world, it's to get the death and bondage out of us. And when God causes us to die to self, it's so that we won't be bound and handicapped by trying to become a black hole in space and pulling everything into ourselves. But he sets us free, Kerry, so that we can be merged with God. And when we're merged with God, we're everywhere and have everything. And all God is trying to do is release us so that we can enjoy the katisis, the creation. That's what the Bible is about. God made the creation. Man lost it through forfeiture, through trickery. And then Jesus came and paid the price of redemption. Like you buy back your alarm clock from the pawn shop. See, some of you have never been there. You know what I'm talking about. You hock your travel alarm. Eddie's done that. See, and then you have to go and you have to redeem it. All right, what is the price of redemption? What is the price of redemption? Boy, if you don't know. The blood is the price of redemption. So ever since the blood was shed, the price, I said redemption, the wicked landlord, the robber, the one who takes your inheritance, holds it by forfeiture and force. Well, we forfeited it by sinning. But when Jesus shed his blood, then the price was paid, so the pawn dealer should give us back our clock, see? He should give us back life. He should give us back joy and everything. But you see, redemption also must occur if the pawnbroker is wicked, then you must use what? Force. That's to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So on the cross, the price of our redemption for spirit, soul, and body was paid. Meaning that we should have every joy, peace, perfect health, the presence of God, all that was lost in the beginning should be restored to us who are the original and rightful owner. Why don't we get it? Why don't we get it? The price was paid 2,000 years ago. Why don't we get our thing back from the pawnbroker? Because the devil, in addition to being a liar, is a thief. And so he says, come and take it by force. And we come and we say, but the blood is paid. Yes, I know, tough. And so God has to Christ died to redeem every human being on the earth. Everyone, 1 John, he died for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. But you see, the Satan, being a thief, as well as a liar, he lied to Adam and Eve, now he's keeping it by force, he will not let it go. So we go to India or to Pali or wherever it may be, and we have to go through, as we were saying, the rules for creating redemption, which is that we ourselves are willing to die so that other people may be redeemed. So that the life of Jesus may go into other people and they may be redeemed. That's why we suffer, for our own sake and then for the sake of others. Once we suffer enough so that we have life, then God takes us and puts us down so that we're dying for others. Many times Christian people get confused. They say, oh, I'm suffering to save the world. No, you're not suffering to save the world. It's probably a judgment on you or something to make you a better person. But there does come a day when, like Paul, when we've got our own act together, but we suffer on the behalf of others, not in the sense that Christ did, but because that's what it takes to get that process of redemption. We just can't go out and speak the word. We have to go out and accept the burden and the spiritual conflict of it and satisfy God through our obedience and all. And that's how the battles of the Lord are fought. They're not fought by power. They're fought by people who are willing to become, to lay down their lives and die so that others might live, and then the Father issues the power and the yoke is broken. So if you're suffering tonight, probably it may be on the behalf of others, or it may be that God is in the process of redeeming you and bringing you into greater joy. But it never is to punish us for God's satisfaction. It always is to bring us into a larger place, or to prepare us to bring others into a larger place. God always has our joy in mind, and it's hard to see. I know it's hard to see when you're in a going through a hard place. You cannot possibly see the end from the beginning. And don't just resign yourself and don't say, oh, well, this is the way my life is supposed to be. Always go to the Lord with your pain. Always go. Never take anything for granted. Don't listen to the devil. Sometimes he'll say you're suffering because you're proud. I had a guy come to the house a few days ago, and he was telling me something. He said, I really helped him in some earlier years, 10 years ago. His baby was very sick, very sick. And a complete stranger, was in the hospital, a complete stranger came and said to him, by the word of the Lord, said, the reason that your baby is sick is because that there's sin in your life, and if you don't get it cleared up, that baby's going to die. Well, this particular fella, I'll tell you who it was, Mary, you know, was her Brenma. And this particular fella, I didn't even remember the incident, but he reminded me of it. He was a young Christian. He didn't know what to do. The guy didn't tell him what the sin was. And he was scared to death. And he thought, what will I do? You know, God, help me. What is my, I don't know my sin. Complete stranger. And so he had been coming to the Bible class. So he came over to the house, as I remember. And he said, what will I do? My baby is dying and some sin is in my life. And I said, forget about it. It's not God at all. First place, he brought a stranger. You don't know. You don't know the man's background. Second place, if it was from God, he would have told you what your sin was. He would not have left you in torment. I said, skip it. It's not God. But those kind of things will actually happen in the spiritual realm. And he said, boy, if it hadn't been for that, I don't know what I would have done. The baby got better. It's a young man now doing great. Had a little girl since then. All, kids look great and everything. But that's how you'll be attacked in the spiritual realm. See, and when you're young and you don't know the ways of the Lord, you think, oh boy, God's not a prophet to me. Don't believe people come to you in the name of the Lord and tell you something. You see, that's why we have churches to help us and guide us through these treacherous situations. You wouldn't think a guy would do a thing like that, but he did. Came and told this guy that, you see. And he broke some of the rules. You never tell a person they have a sin unless you tell them what it is. Because then that brings them into bondage to you, number one, which is usually what these so-called prophets want. See, that brings you to bondage. Oh, please tell me what it is. Well, I'll tell you if you'll be good, you know, this kind of thing. Which puffs up the person that does such a dastardly thing. And it just brings you into terrible bondage. God doesn't work that way. That's not the Lord. And yet this stuff goes on all the time in Christianity, particularly in a Pentecost. It's hocus-pocus stuff. It's not the Lord. It's not the Lord, it's just bondage. A lot of stuff that goes on is just witchcraft and bondage and curses and all this stuff. Pentecostal people get them, there's nothing to it. And I told him, I conveyed to him a spirit of confidence, I guess. Anyway, he went home and had peace and there was no more problems. So that's how to get on that anyway. What was I talking about? God is not in the business of tormenting us and giving us hocus pocus. When something goes wrong in your life, say, God, how come this is wrong? You said, great peace out there, which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. And then see if you're doing something that's not sensible. You know, if you're fasting, you fast for 24 hours, and then you get up, you say, but I feel so weak. You know, I don't believe people do these things. They really do these things. I just don't have any strength. Well, for heaven's sake, use your head. Or they're trying to carry on a full stream of work and everything, and they're not eating, and pretty soon they're depressed and they feel rotten. Well, anybody could tell you that. That doesn't take a great brain to figure out. But God's people will do things like this. They do all kinds of things. So use common sense. Sometimes you've got to stand up for your rights. There are times to stand up for your rights. And say, quit beating me over the head. That's a time for that. You don't have to say, oh, God said it to me. Sometimes it isn't God at all. You're just not using common sense. And sometimes you're bringing it on yourself because of intemperance or something, or some foolishness. And in a rare instance, the Lord will speak to you like he did to Paul and say, this is of me, which doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, it's just a combination of things, and we're just kind of fighting for our life. So don't get passive from our teaching. Fight for your life. You're going to have to. Just fight for your physical and spiritual life. You're in a battle, and the devil's out to lick you, and God wants you to win. And he'll give you the power to win. If you read your Bible, pray, use the brains that God gave you. Keep a good attitude in things. Don't accept moods. Kick them. Keep a cheerful attitude the best you can. When you feel a mood come, say, God said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Try to put a happy frame on it. Don't heap things that people say to yourselves and nurture them. It says, believeth all things. A situation can happen and you can think the worst of it or think the best of it. That's your option. Better to be Pollyanna than to be grousing around like old pickle puss. Better to be Pollyanna. Walk around like you're kind of not quite there in the upper story. And believe it, a lot of times you'll be right. The person didn't mean anything by it. It was completely innocuous. Rather than to seize on some, I know what they're doing. I know. I can read between the lines. And blow the whole scene. So there's a lot of things. We're in the process of being redeemed. And I'm telling you, to fight your way through and even be a decent Christian for a period of 10 years, you should get a medal. Because it's no easy fight. It's really, reminds me of Joe Lewis used to always say, when I used to follow the fight, he always say, it was a hard fight, I'm glad I'm won. That's what I tend to say to the Lord. That's as good a statement as I know. It was a hard fight, I'm glad I won. Praise the Lord. All right? That wasn't very sanctified, was it? All right. Now, in Romans the 8th chapter, where does this fit in? See, Paul is leading up to redemption. And so he talks about sin in the 13th verse, and he says, if you keep, Romans 8:13, if you keep living in the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Well, we preach this many times. All right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. And let's see now. I'll have to look that one up. See, there's two Greek words. One is son and one is children. And I haven't looked that one up. I think that one is Huios' son. But let's let that slide for now because we'll get into it in just a sec. All right, now. What are we led by the Spirit to do? Huh? To put to death the deeds of our body. The Spirit is very much into this. And what do we call this? Redemption. What are we redeeming? The material creation, see? The katisis. This is our first land of promise. Your own body is your first land of promise. Right. Does it get you mad that the devil lives in your body? Does it not raise your Irish? I know some of you, that would be hard to do, raise your Irish. Huh? So that's why we use it in a generalized way. All right, now. Does it make you pork up inside? Huh? Why should the devil tell me what this is? This is my flesh. Why should he be moving me to booze or do something else? Why should the devil have any right? What has he got to do in my flesh anyway? It's mine. Huh? Don't give him anything. Don't give him the time of day when you're feeling coming around. Why should you let him use your body? Just it makes me angry. And I'm not even Irish, but it makes me angry. It raises up my Irish and I'm not even Irish. But it raises it up with him. You have no business in here. And that's the kind of talk the devil understands. You go wheedling him and talking theological talk to him in tongues and everything, won't pay any attention to you. You say, Satan, you do not belong in here. Make him uncomfortable. Start talking to him. Get out of here. You don't belong in here. Make it rough on him. And keep on him in the name of Jesus. He'll leave after I get sick of it. That's right. But you go around and pamper him and everything and say, oh, you can talk theological, talk to him and everything. And God wants you to give him a bad time. Resist the devil. Resist him. Resist him. How do you resist somebody? Well, you resist them. I won't do it. Did you ever walk around talking to yourself and say, never? Did you ever do that when nobody's in the house and the thought would go through your mind and you're not talking to anybody in particular but to the environment in general? Never! Did you ever do that? Mary, didn't you ever do that? Mary looks like, I never said such a thing. Never! It'll never, it does you, it's good for your soul. Right? Take that attitude. Don't be looking at something that pops up on your leg or something and say, oh, the devil's after me. Give it a hard time. Talk at it. Say, get out of here. This is my land. Anoint it with oil. Condemn the thing in the name of Jesus. That's right. Do it in the name of the Lord. Give it a bad time. All right. We're led by the Spirit of God to do that. We don't go out by ourselves. We're led by the Spirit. City after city after city. God shows us. We put it to death. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God has, if you're fearful tonight, you should come at the end and we'll pray. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We've got not to have fear. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, that we have to fear the devil or fear the creation. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're all adopted. We're adopted children into the house of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See how it goes back and forth between sons and children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Now, what does God inherit? What does Christ inherit? Right. That's the inheritance given to man. All things. Now listen, ask of me, and I shall give you the nations. Is that something you can see, touch, hear, taste, and smell? The things, see. He didn't say, ask of me and I'll give you bliss. An intangible. He talks about the tangible. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations. And what? The uttermost parts of the earth. Is that tangible? Is there something you can perceive with your senses? See, in the beginning, God created the nations and the earth, didn't he? That's what we inherit. That's what Christ inherits. Christ is inheriting the material creation that was robbed from man. Christ is representative man and the head of man. And man lost it by forfeiture, and God is giving it back to us. And it's going on today in our lives. Hallelujah. And Jesus is coming with reinforcements. So give the devil a bad time. He does not belong in your body. How about in your home? He does not belong in your home. Are you giving him a bad time in your home, or are you going around weepers? Huh? Take a putting up with a lot of stuff. Well, you say, there's some things I can't change. No, you can't change them by nagging about it, but pray about it. Go to God about it. If it doesn't answer today, try it tomorrow. Something will happen in your environment. You keep say, God, my environment has been invaded by the devil. And do everything in your power to get him out of your house. Sometimes it takes years. Get him out of the kids. It may take years. Satan's been living in the earth for a long time and in the peoples of the earth for a long time. And he doesn't skedaddle when we say it. It takes a long time. But every time we pray in Jesus' name, God hears us. He hears us. And one day, the miracle will come. It may be a time you least expect it. It may be a healing. It may be something in your children. It may be something in your household, in your job. But someday, God will say, here it is. If you don't quit. That's one thing about fighting. That's one thing about fighting. Never quit. Never quit. It's the last guy on his feet wins. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. What matters is the last man on his feet. Boy, that's important to remember in a fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. Pull yourself up off the canvas. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. One day you'll win. Just don't ever quit. The devil essentially is a coward. The wicked are always fearful, and they hope by their bluff and their roar and their threats to cause us to quit in fear. Don't quit. I don't care how much of a bot you make of the thing, get up and stagger around and stay in there and pray to God to help you. God loves that thing. And you'll get the victory. You'll surprise yourself. Don't ever lose your idealism. Keep it. I've seen church people lose their idealism because it took a long time and they figured, oh, it's just a bunch of words. And they stay with it. They'll go to church at the end of their life. But they lose their idealism. They lose their vision. The things that they believed for originally got knocked out of them by life, sometimes by preachers, sometimes by churches that don't change. Keep yourself flexible and believe for the moon. We haven't seen this thing through yet. God said greater works. God means greater works. The Bible can't lie. And if we don't allow life and circumstances or sickness or tiredness or anything to knock our idealism out of us, God will give us the world. Because the Bible can't be wrong. If any part of it's wrong, it's all wrong. And the Bible said with God all things are possible. It's how many times we get up off the canvas that counts, not how many times we get knocked out. Don't quit. God wants to redeem you. And it's going to take a fight. If you can't redeem yourself, you send somebody to redeem you. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs, this is of the material creation. If so be that we suffer with him, see, that's essential, that we may be also glorified together. See, when Christ is glorified, we're going to be glorified. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, what? Which shall be what? Revealed where? And do you know when that revelation is going to come? Let me tell you. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that is of the katisis, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the trees, people, everything that you can see, touch, feel, taste, and smell. That's the katisis. See? It is groaning and travailing in the bondage of the devil, see? And it's waiting for something. It's waiting for what? The revealing of the sons of the, and that word, yeah, I looked it up, that word is huios, that means a son. And God has sons that he's making a new creation in, and then he is going to fill them with glory, and that glory is going to flow out to the material realm. We're witnesses now, someday that is coming, we shall actually bring within ourselves the power of redemption for the entire creation. If we don't quit. For the creation was made subject to futility, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That's God, meaning that he kept man out away from the tree of life, see, and made us subject to vanity and futility and corruption. Because the creation, the created realm, also shall be delivered. It shall be delivered. See, that's what God has in mind for the people of India and the nation of India and the land and the sky and everything else that Satan has corrupted is going to be delivered. Praise the Lord. It's going to be delivered. It's going to be delivered. It's going to be delivered. The day is coming when God is going to deliver this world. He's going to deliver it. Now, what about Antichrist? He'll be long gone by then. God is going to deliver the world. Right now, God gives us exercises in delivering ourselves and delivering other people. One day, we're going to deliver the whole creation. The creation itself shall be delivered. That's the message of the Bible. This is paradise regained. It is redemption. The redemption of the creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Into the, and the Greek here is interesting, the freedom of the glory. The Greek says the freedom of the glory, and this word is children. See, the sons of God are revealed, that is people who have grown up in God's image, but now he's talking about the children, the nations, the people who are not sons. It's a different Greek word, technia, means children, little children. My technia, I speak unto you, my little children, the children of the creation, the sons of God, those who have come to full stature, have suffered, have learned, have grown up in God's image, have been set free from sin, self, and the world. Christ's glory shall come into them, and the immature part of the creation shall be released into the freedom that is associated only with the glory of God. See, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Praise the Lord. Do you want to be there when that happens? Which end do you want to be on? Do you want to be a child or a son? If you want to be a son, what must you put up with? Yeah, suffer. See, the suffering, if we suffer, see, if we suffer with him, in verse 17. But then he says, the sufferings of this present time are what? Yeah, all right. Now think about yourself right now. You had a hard time today, right? You got problems. How does God say to view them? Get your eye and just say, well, I had a rotten day, and I've got a lot of problems. Brother Thompson, you don't know my problems. You don't know mine. And I don't know yours. I'm glad I got mine and not yours. Okay. This is working for your glory. Keep your eyes up. Lord Jesus, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you that this wonderful creation, and I think it's wonderful, Lord, and I think the nations and the uttermost parts of the earth are marvelous, and every country I've ever seen or been in or saw pictures of, Lord, each one has its own unique wonder and beauty to it, Lord, and I think it's a marvelous creation. Praise the Lord. I think it's marvelous. In fact, Lord, I don't see how it could be improved. Praise your wonderful name. And Lord, it just makes us disgusted and resentful that spirits that don't even belong here, and that you have never once in your word assigned the creation to, should come and invade our place. It just makes me angry and indignant, Lord, that they should come and attempt to tempt us away from you, not to do your will, to take things into our body which are harmful, to exercise malice toward one another, and all their insidious, divisive, rotten ways. They have corrupted your world, Lord, till it's a charnel house of darkness. And we say in your name, Lord, that they do not belong in this material realm. They are spiritual, and they need to be cast into the spiritual prisons. And Lord, we know that Jesus shed his blood as the cost of our redemption. So we know the authority is there. And now, Lord, we know that all that is lacking is the power to drive them out, so that out of us and out of those to whom we minister, so that we can enjoy the wonderful creation. And when Jesus comes, that we can receive our bodies back and enjoy it forever and never be separated, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no tears, for they all shall pass away, Lord, because they have come from the demons. You never created them with Adam and Eve. They have all come from the demon powers. All the sorrows that we experience and the corruption come from demon powers. And we recognize that, Lord. And we have no mind to evacuate our possession, that which you have given to us. We refuse to give it over to evil spirits. We refuse to give them our children, our homes, our flesh, our minds, our imaginations, or anything else that you have given to us, Lord. We are indignant. We are indignant. And we pray tonight, Lord, hallelujah, that you will give us the power and the glory, Lord, that we can begin, Lord, even at on a small scale, it's a genuine scale nonetheless, and we can begin, Lord, to release people from the terrible things brought about by their worship of demons, and because they are ignorant, Lord, and the demons outsmart them and take over their bodies and their minds and keep them in captivity through ignorance. And Lord, you said the ignorance will come to an end because the knowledge of the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Blessed be your wonderful name. And Lord, you're giving us that knowledge even today in 1982 to realize and recognize that this marvelous world is ours, and we do not have to surrender it to demons and fly off to the spiritual realm, Lord. Hallelujah. Until it's our time to go, to wait, to descend with you, Lord, to release this marvelous thing. Lord, we say the creation, we say with you that it is very good. It is very good indeed, and everything about it is right. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is perfect, and we praise you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Even the human body is, scientists marvel, Lord, at what you have created. Absolutely cannot, their minds are boggled, and they haven't plumbed 1 millionth of it. They can't figure out how a snake knows how to crawl on his belly, Lord. You're the only one that knows. You're the only one that knows the marvels, Lord, that you have put in this wonderful world of ours. And we praise you for everything, every creature, great and small. We give you thanks, Lord. Hallelujah. But we rebuke the wicked spirits that counsel us in the wrong way and cause us to lose our very flesh, Lord. Praise your name. Now, Lord, for those that are in this room, Lord, that are going through bad times and hard times right now. Oh, hallelujah. We hold these up to you, Lord. And we hold these up to you, Lord, and we pray that these circumstances will change, Lord. We don't accept them. We know it's not your will for your children to be beat down all the time. Hallelujah, Lord. We accept our chastening. We accept our due chastening from your hand. But, Lord, we certainly resent everything that it does not belong to us, and we challenge it and require that it leave in your name, Lord. And all unnecessary problems that are in this room tonight, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone, without exception, without exception, we ask in Jesus' name, in faith, nothing doubting, that every needless hindrance, frustration, corruption, sickness, doubt, fear, and burden that is not necessary, is not working for good, Lord, will be lifted from this congregation, Lord. We just ask that and praise your name for it, Lord. We're not going to take these things lying down. You said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And Lord, we ask you for that peace. Yes. Hallelujah, Lord. We're not asking you for a lot of money. We're not asking you for a lot of things. We're asking you only for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. And we just come against every spirit that would come against the people of this congregation to take away their righteousness or their peace or their joy. Hallelujah. And Lord, give us, make us a righteous and a peaceful and a joyful people in the Holy Spirit, that we may show forth in ourselves the powers of the age to come. Hallelujah. Let redemption be on this assembly. Remember their willingness, Lord, to share with the people of India. Remember, Lord, their willingness, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. And bless, I pray, and forgive our many sins, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we march onward to certain redemption. Praise your name. Oh, you're so wonderful, Lord. We know you're so joyous. You're so full of joy, Lord. Oh, God, help us and make us a joyous people, ready to suffer, but praising you all the while, Lord, because it's still the greatest way on earth. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for peace tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge within ourselves that you have already answered prayer. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. We claim our children. We claim our households. We claim our health. We claim peace of mind. We claim them, Lord, as being our lawful and proper inheritance through the blood of the cross. And we believe for them and thank you for them. Hallelujah. Praise you. Now help us, Lord. Bring release to the nations of the world as you lead us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and told thy love to me. Shall we stand? But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glorious art thou, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Marvelous art thou in thy holy dwelling place, O Lord. Oh, thou art our Redeemer, O Lord. Thou hast delivered us from the devil. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou hast redeemed us, O Lord, from every wickedness, O God. Thou hast set us free, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thou art mighty in thy holy dwelling place, O Lord. Oh, thou hast prevailed, O Lord, over all the power of the enemy, O Lord. Blessed be thy holy name. Blessed be thy holy name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, thou art the Redeemer. Oh, thou art the Redeemer, O Lord. Oh, thou hast redeemed us, O Lord, by thy blood. Hallelujah. Oh, thou hast redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. We rejoice and we praise thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. We do not have to serve the devil. Blessed be thy holy name. Hallelujah. We can walk free in thee, O Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. For the blood of the cross, O Lord, that redeems us, O God, from the hand of the wicked one. Blessed be thy holy name. Thank you for total victory. Thank you for total victory. Thank you for total victory. Thank you for total victory, O Lord. Thank you for total victory, O Lord. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Blessed be thy holy name. Thou art victor, Jesus. Thou art victor, Lord. Thou art victor. Hallelujah, over hell, death, and the grave. Thou art victor, Lord. We rest in thy victory, O Lord. We take it, O Lord. We take the land. In thy name we take the land. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We take it, O Lord. In thy name, O God, we take it. We will not surrender it, O Lord. We take it in thy name. Blessed be thy holy name. Blessed be thy holy name. The battle is the Lord's. The kingdom is thine, O Lord. Thou art victor. Go forth with thy holy angels. Lord, give us back this earth, O Lord. Give us back this earth, O Lord. Give it back to us, O God. We claim it in thy name, O Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and release this world, I pray. Oh, by thy power, O Lord, release the
the creation, O Lord. Begin it today in us, O Lord. Begin it today in us, O Lord. Put that power in us, O Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put that power in thy saints, O Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thou art victor, Jesus. Thou art victor, O Lord. The world belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come and take thy inheritance, Jesus. Come and take thy nations, O Lord, unto thyself. Oh, the demons have ruled them long enough. Oh, God, remember our nation. The demons are ruling it, O Lord. Hallelujah. Purge them from the land. Purge them out of our nation. Purge them out of our schools. Purge them out of our government. Oh, God, give us back our land, I pray. Give us back our land, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Deliver us, O Lord, from the wicked. Oh, God, give us back our nation, I pray. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. By thy power and stretched out arm, O God, it belongs to you, Lord. It belongs to you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, drive the wicked from the land. Drive them from the land. Drive them from our nation, O God. Drive them from our nation, O God. Cleanse the land by thy power, O God. Drive it out of thy church, O God. Drive it out of us. Drive it out of our minds. Drive it out of our homes. Drive it out of our cities. Drive it out of this city. Oh God, drive it out of our nation, O Lord. Oh God, we are not content to dwell with demons, O Lord. We're not content to dwell with them, O Lord. Drive them out. This is our land, O God. Drive them out, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Rick Jardine to close in prayer, if you will.
Lord, many are called. Many are called, but you are choosing of you, Lord. You are choosing of you to be in our army.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Lord, in the army of Gideon, Lord, there was a breaking down, Lord. Help us not to be like the fearful, Lord, but to stand against the enemy, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we stoop down, Lord, and as they were not watching for the enemy, Lord, let us be prepared, Lord, that as he is going as a roaring lion.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you've given us that authority over him.
Yes, you have.
Lord, as those that have taken him the call, Lord, and we want to resist the enemy, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
He has no cause.
No, he has nothing in us. Nothing. Nothing. Amen, Jesus. Amen. Out at the root, Lord. The root! Hallelujah. We will not serve Satan. We will not do it. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Eternal strength. Eternal. Amen, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, you are, Jesus. You've got the power,
Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Unite us as one, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Lord.
Only in your power can we do this.
Amen, Jesus. It's your
strength.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Jesus.
Struggle through the battle, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Knowing that you're working the perfect work in us. Go with us this night. Be with us through the days. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise the name.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We could just have you
is this wise, Judith? Is this wise?
I don't know. I have a feeling it might not be.
Has he repented? Is he going to be back in the same house with your children? Boy. Well, I want to do everything I can to help. And you're the one that's going to live with him. Is that what you want? Do you feel he's changed?
I feel he's learned a tremendous level.
I do? Has he shown any humility?
Yeah.